Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to the Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to health care. Dr. Prather, this morning we're going to talk about the failure of antibiotics, and that's quite a statement, but some very interesting information we're going to have on. And we're all about educating our listeners, the public, and so we're going to continue to do that with this show. So what do you mean by the failure of the antibiotics?
And that's actually not my statement.
Okay. You didn't come up with it?
No. The failure of antibiotics is something that the Center of Disease Control, National Institute of Health, World Health Organization has actually been putting out. And it was considered probably the major health crisis of this decade. So 2013, the Center of Disease Control, World Health Organization, National Institute of Health did a whole study on the possibility of us getting into almost a post-antibiotic era.
Oh, wow.
So,
and this was 2013 that the statement came out.
So one of the things is they did a whole research along those lines just to see where we were headed with our whole antibiotic program. And what the future held, and it was a very discouraging report. So much so that the Center of Disease Control has put out for the physicians to make this hospitals to make this a priority on educating the public and also implementing steps within their own practice to try to help to preserve antibiotics and to have a post antibiotic mindset on how we would be dealing with infections and different problems along those lines. So this is something that is actually a national and international emphasis.
Well, and those physicians that have been in the structure function model have known this for a long time.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise.
There has been an organization of physicians on the proper use of antibiotics actually since antibiotics first came out. So there's been an organization along those lines since the 1950s. So the inventors of antibiotics, the people who actually came up with it, one of their biggest concerns was that there would be an overuse of antibiotics and that it would no longer be rendered useful. So
that's what's happened.
That is actually what's happened. And we've been encouraging people to have the proper use of antibiotics. We aren't against antibiotics by any stretch of the imagination. As a matter of fact, it's a resource that we consider something that should be handed down from generation to generation because of the life-saving capabilities of antibiotics. But with the overuse of antibiotics, with the improper use of antibiotics, we've really squandered quite a resource.
Well, and too, when the antibiotics were invented, isn't it true that they were thinking maybe once or twice in someone's lifetime, not three times before the age of three?
Right,
you know,
right.
Which happens a lot.
It is. It was something that as the inventors of antibiotics and the people who were doing the research felt that only antibiotics should, as you said, only be used maybe once, maybe twice in one's lifetime as something that would save the person, allow them to recuperate and get back on with their life. The constant use of antibiotics in any type of a situation is not recommended, has never been recommended, and is something that has been a failure of our healthcare system. It's been unfortunately promoted, you know, with that mindset. People have demanded it, and we need to change the attitudes of healthcare professionals and also the public.
So they're saying that we're entering a post-antibiotic age.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, antibiotics, bacteria, is basically what you're talking about. And one of the things is that bacteria multiply very quickly. So, you know, in an hour you could have 1,000 generations of bacteria who have been doing genetic mutations during that time. Mm-hmm. So everything wants to live, and if you put something into a milieu where it kills bacteria, the bacteria who are resistant are the ones who are going to survive. The ones that aren't resistant will die. So those will be the next generation of bacteria right there. Also, one of the things that can occur is you can get a drift in genetic material. In other words, the environment can actually cause genetic material to change how it functions. So bacteria that would actually survive an antibiotic round would then be able to make the proper adjustments in their genetic material. Then you can actually get a genetic jump. Bacteria are quite interesting, actually all creatures are, because they share genetic material. So if one bacteria in your body becomes all of a sudden resistant, makes a mutation that's resistant to antibiotics or certain antibiotics, it's going to share that information with all the other bacteria in your body.
Now, I lost you a little bit. What do you mean by, antibiotic resistant? Define that.
Yes.
And we're just talking about bacteria, right?
Yeah, we're just talking about bacteria.
Yeah.
This can also occur with yeast. When you're talking about infections, you're talking about several different aspects. You've got bacteria, which is useful against antibiotics. You have viruses, which antibiotics are totally useless against.
And aren't they used a lot for viruses?
Well, unfortunately, yes. People will come in, they're sick, they want something, and they want something now.
And the doctor's giving them an antibiotic.
And they'll give them an antibiotic, even though it's a virus, which antibiotics make viruses stronger. So, it's the absolutely wrong thing to do. You can also have yeast infections, which can cause problems in the body. And the antibiotics make the yeast stronger. So that's a wrong thing to do. And then you also have parasitic infections. And some antibiotics have actually been used for parasitic infections. They can also become resistant to any type of medication that you have. So we're getting resistant infections in all those different types of areas.
So that it's not responding, that's what you mean.
It's not only not responding. The interesting thing, sometimes you can actually take an antibiotic and they can actually encourage the growth of the bacteria. Because you eliminate, they actually will respond to certain types of antibiotics where they will proliferate even quicker. So you can actually kill someone by giving them an antibiotic because the infection takes off.
And that has happened.
that has happened quite a bit.
The founder of Muppets.
Jim Henson. He had a streptococcus infection. He had strep throat. Had gone quite a long time with the strep throat, and finally had, because he wasn't resting anything like that, went in and got an antibiotic, and the next day he was dead.
Now, why is that?
It was a type of a strep that had they didn't really check it out, but there's very strong evidence that it was a type of a strep infection that was used to his particular antibiotic that he was given for that, and it actually caused it just to go so quickly that he developed heart failure. So it's
really important to know what the infection is.
Right. There's actually you need to know, one, what the infection is, and then before you take an antibiotic, there is a whole procedure that you need to go through. They need to get a culture of the bacteria, and then they need to put the different antibiotics in there and see how they respond. Some of the, if you do a swab on the strep, put it into a culture, put the antibiotic in there, and then the bacteria actually grows out of the culture. Because that's not a good thing to give.
Okay.
that's a bad thing.
You want your bacteria to grow.
Right. You want to see the proper response from the bacteria.
Can you do that in an office visit at the doctor's?
No, you have to actually send that out to a lab.
Uh-huh.
And what they do is you send a culture. They then go on ahead and go through proper procedures. It's a very strict type of way that you do that. And then you grow it, put the different bacteria in there, and then the antibiotics, see how they respond. And that way you know what type of results you're going to get with the antibiotic. And that's always been the proper procedure.
How long does that take?
That can take a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You know, it depends on which one you actually
are. You well by then?
Well, you really shouldn't be using an antibiotic if you're going to get well anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, you know, it's just because you have a bacterial infection doesn't mean that you should be taking an antibiotic.
Okay.
Antibiotics are really not for convenience.
Mm-hmm.
They were never intended to be for convenience. Antibiotics are for life-saving procedures.
Okay. When we come back, let's talk about how this post-antibiotic age happened, and is it too late to reverse it? You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. How is TMJ treated at your office?
One of the most important ones is actually some jaw adjusting. The technique that I actually use, I invented. It needs to be extremely light adjustment. If you come in hard on the jaw, it's a very mobile type of a joint.
Mm-hmm.
So the angle, the pattern, and just the amount of right pressure, it's a very gentle type of thing. As a matter of fact, people just sit there and say it's sort of like a puff of air. You know, I mean, did you actually do anything except, you know, all of a sudden all their pain's gone?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the TMJ is one of the major causes of headaches. There's a different pattern if it's cervicogenic and jaw on the headaches. By the time just we do the consultation, I usually know where the headache's coming from. It also has a very strong emotional effect. There's actually a direct nerve that goes right to the brain from the jaw that goes directly to the emotional center in the brain. The emotions can affect the jaw, mm-hmm. and then the jaw can affect the emotions. Jaw problems of any type of musculoskeletal pain, people commit more suicide from TMJ. About 80% of everyone's going to have TMJ sometime in their life. And many times people aren't even aware that that's where their problem's coming
from.
Right. One of the things that you have to do is the neck has to be fixed to be able to fix the TMJ. If you don't get the top bone called the atlas fixed, you'll never be able to fix the TMJs.
And that's something you do.
That's
your specialty.
We actually
is
have
the
a
atlas.
Specialty on
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you can have TMJ problems and not have a neck problem too.
Okay.
But if the atlas is out, you're going to absolutely get nowhere with a TMJ. There's also a global type of a shift that occurs. The pelvis will actually shift. We've had people with elbow problems. We've had people with shoulder problems. And I said, it's coming from your jaw. And they're like, you know, well, it doesn't hurt up.
How does that
jaw.
Happen? Yeah.
And so I go up there and adjust their jaw and their, I recheck their shoulder and the elbow, and I said, does that hurt anymore? And they go, no, oh my gosh. I've had people working on this for 2 years and never gotten this far, and you do it in just like 5 seconds. Examination and diagnostics are absolutely so essential for really understanding a problem. If you don't know exactly what's going on, if you don't know what the cause is, then you can't fix it.
Right. And when you know, it makes the treatment easy.
Oh, yes.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Well, Dr. Prather, today we're talking about the failure of antibiotics. And very interesting. Talk about we're entering a post-antibiotic age, and this isn't anything new. The Center of Disease Control put out a report in 2013 that stated that antibiotics are no longer effective.
Well, we're not completely out of it, but the trend is becoming so prevalent. In the last 10 years, the number of antibiotic resistant organisms out there has just gone through the roof. One, there's been a huge increase in the number of antibiotics that are given, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. And not only that you're actually taking an antibiotic, but there's also in our food supply, the meats, the animals. The animals are getting much, much larger amounts of antibiotics.
So we're getting it from that.
Yes. And then also worldwide, the use of antibiotics with the increase in wealth in especially in Asia, the availability of antibiotics has just gone through the roof. And there was a thought pattern over there that, every time you got sick, you take an antibiotic. And so the use of antibiotics has multiplied.
Yeah, that's right. Our niece and nephew lived over there, and that the antibiotic was a big treatment.
Very, very big treatment. Very there. Commonly given, and even worse elsewhere besides the United States on its use.
So how did this happen?
Well, it was just sloppy medicine. You know, there were procedures that were to be used for for antibiotics given out. Also, there was a lot of hype. You know, if you're sick, here's a quick remedy.
Yeah.
So people were actually demanding antibiotics. The feeling is that in the United States, 80% of the time that antibiotics are given, it's not actually for a bacterial infection. So first off, you are given an antibiotic and you don't even have a bacterial infection, and you're talking about 80% of the time.
Wow.
Which creates a huge problem, and most common infections out there are virals, and viral infections do not respond to antibiotics. Now, there is a response in the human body. One of the things that occurs when you take an antibiotic is that your immune system drops. So every time you take an antibiotic, you actually damage your immune system. And especially on your ability to fight viruses. So what happens is that people take an antibiotic, but they seem to get better. But the symptomatology and the actual reality of it are two different things. And that's one thing that people have a hard time understanding.
Because I feel better quickly,
then,
I must be better.
But what has happened, and when you're sick, it's your body actually fighting the virus. Viruses, if you just left them alone, you wouldn't really feel that bad until later as the damage occurs. So it weakens your immune system response to the virus. So you appear to get better, but the virus actually becomes more ingrained in your system and does long-term damage.
'Cause viruses can just sit dormant. I know we find that in our office you're dealing with viral infections in different organs.
Viruses are kind of forever. The viruses can actually
viruses
live on...
Viruses are forever.
Viruses
sounds
live...
like a new movie title.
But, viruses can actually live on the face of the sun. So, the body wants to get viruses under control, keep them under control. And when you take antibiotics, you have a weakening of the immune system. A 10-day supply of antibiotics causes your immune system to drop for 3 months.
So it takes 3 months to restore it.
For the body to restore it.
So
it's something that you don't want to keep on repeating, because we see a lot of people coming in with I'm just tired all the time. I don't feel well. Mm-hmm. And it's a, you know, they've crashed their immune system. I ask them, how many times have you had antibiotics? Mm-hmm. You know.
What do you hear?
Oh, I mean, people have had hundreds,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. of antibiotics. You know,
if, no wonder we're a society that's not getting well.
Sure. Antibiotic use, if you have six rounds of antibiotics mm-hmm. before the age of six, your chances of having a learning disability go up 10 times.
Mm.
So, you know, there's a huge overall effect throughout the body. Antibiotics are there not as a prophylactic. They're not to really there to shorten your infection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people want to get fixed. Antibiotics are really there to save your life.
Right.
You know, or to keep damage from occurring.
Mm-hmm.
So there are very important ways to use antibiotics. I consider them extremely important. But you need to understand that there is a dark side to them
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you really can't just be messing with them.
Is it too late to reverse this?
That's the big question.
Uh-huh.
You know, one, we have to change our prescription, ways that we're prescribing antibiotics.
Mm-hmm. The procedure.
The procedures.
The procedure that was set.
Yeah, from the very beginning, you just follow good medical guidelines on when you actually use antibiotics.
Doctors just being pressured? I mean, you know, you look at the media, go ask your doctor about this medication that could kill you, you know?
Sure. And yes,
and then they prescribe it.
Right. And even more so nowadays because doctors are being judged by, you know, there's this whole thing of getting paid according to how people respond, you know, whether
outcome assessments,
how they rate the doctor,
yeah,
whether they please the doctor, and people don't know when they need an antibiotic. Doctors do.
Mm-hmm.
They found that 68% of all doctors, you know, after they gave an antibiotic, said that person shouldn't be walking out with an antibiotic.
Yeah,
but you know. They were pressuring me.
Yeah.
You know, mom was pressuring me. My kid kept me up all night.
Mm-hmm.
Do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I came in here, and the last thing they want to hear from a doctor is, yeah, it's a virus. I don't have anything.
Yeah, and that's where the sloppy medicines come in.
Well, and the doctors, you know, they've got a time schedule. They need mm-hmm. to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's not going to be any big deal. Just, you know, Give them the antibiotic and then move on. So 68% of the time. And once the patients were educated in certain types of facilities, they actually targeted different facilities to educate the patients not to pressure the mm-hmm. doctors for an antibiotic. And they did. They found a 75% decrease in the number of antibiotics given out.
Wow.
Just by educating the patients.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what we're doing here today. And we have so much good material. You know, because we have answers.
Right. And,
yeah.
And this is stuff that is just put out, you know, not just by me, but this is actually the material that the Center of Disease Control wants to get out.
Yeah. So let's talk about what should patients do when they're sick?
Well, one of the things that, you know, that you, different ways of actually approaching this.
Uh-huh.
One, you can go after the bacteria itself. You know, that's where you're talking about the infection. You mm-hmm. know, kill the infection.
But first, you got to know.
Well, first, you got to know
viral
or fungal
parasitic.
Or parasitic.
Yeah.
So first off, you know, just good diagnostics.
Mm-hmm.
Having good diagnostics is probably one of the most important things. Mm-hmm. Then there's a whole nother way that you can approach this. You can actually approach it through what's considered the more the structure function way.
Mm-hmm. That's how we practice.
Right. You can either go after the infection, which there's actually a tremendous number of ways that aren't pharmaceutically based.
Mm-hmm.
That
you can go after the infection.
You can actually go after the infection. There are homeopathics, which are extremely effective, both on building, you know, on going after the infection. But also boosting up the person themselves and cutting down on the symptomatology.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing about homeopathics is you can never hurt anyone. In other words, it doesn't ever weaken the immune system. You can never die from them. You can never actually have a problem from actually utilizing those.
And you can take those with other medications.
And you can take those with other medications. So, you know, it's a great way to go after the whole healthcare model and can make a huge difference. You can also boost the person's immune system. So there are many different types of ways to actually approach that. Echinacea is a good example, you know, that you take when you have when you're sick. That's a well-known type of product. And what does echinacea do? It opens up the lymphatic tissue so there's better drainage.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are a whole host of ways of actually getting someone's health improved. Chiropractic adjustments. You know, I had someone came in and I said, I got this terrible sinus infection. My MD said it's not bacterial. Go home. You know, but I'm miserable, which the patient actually was smart enough, well-educated enough, that they knew that the antibiotic would just be, you know, a cover-up and really wouldn't
yeah,
be helpful.
Yeah, and we're hearing that from patients more and more,
sure.
You know, are understanding it.
Sure. So this was a viral type of thing. You know, what do I do? Well, there are many different types of ways that I said that you can approach it. So I went through a whole list of those. One, chiropractic adjustments, and that's actually what they went for, is we opened up their eustachian tubes, did some adjustments in through the cervical spine, opened up the jaw. I did some skull adjusting, which helped out tremendously, and then just boosted up and balanced out the nervous system. The patient left feeling about 90% better. You know, I mean, immediately.
Right.
You know, you're
right.
Talking about immediate types of results.
And why is those. That? Why?
Well,
we're thinking of these little critters and we're focusing on that. You know, we got backed up lymph systems and.
Right. And a lot of the symptomatology was the secondary results of the virus. You know, just like I said, you can actually weaken the immune system and actually get a symptomatic type of relief. If you open up the lymph system, the circulatory system, get the nervous system working better, you're actually changing the physiology of the sinuses themselves, of the lymphatic drainage. There are some real types of changes that occur on that, and the symptoms and everything else gets better immediately.
Well, when we come back, let's talk more about the structure function solution to antibiotic resistance. Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
So my wife went and bought all the ingredients necessary for the cleanup, but she wasn't home that afternoon, so she put them all on the kitchen counter. She kept texting me. Now remember, at 3 o'clock, you're supposed to start the cleanse, you know. I'm like, yeah. I passed everything I've ever eaten in my entire life. I passed things I had only thought about eating. I passed things my neighbors had eaten. I passed a red bicycle we keep in the garage. And 1 hour later, what was coming out of me was so pure, it could be legally declared mountain spring water.
A special message from the DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice.
Are you tired of making the same weight loss resolution only to end up right back where you started? Let the professionals at DTS Weight Loss Center take all the frustration out of dieting. Our nutritionists and wellness coaches know what works for every body type and can develop a plan specific to your needs throughout your medically supervised program. Make the change by visiting us online at dtsweightlosscenter.com. Dedicate. Transform. Succeed.
When you call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment at our DTS Weight Loss Center, mention the Voice of Health Radio Show and you'll receive a free initial consultation plus a free body composition analysis. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice. Dedicate, transform, succeed. I'm
Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
Doctor, we're talking about the failure of antibiotics. Did you know that? It's kind of like I'm telling you. Very interesting. It's so much information we need to go over. But I want to make sure our listeners know that there are solutions to this. Okay,
sure.
We focused a lot on the failure and that we're in a post-antibiotic age.
Yes.
And we have answers for that. The structure function model has answers. So when you look at, you have what four type, well, the fungal infections, parasitical, bacterial, viral.
Right.
Someone comes in feeling sick.
Sure.
To the office. How do you go about treating them?
Well, again, determining what's going on. I mean, diagnostics are extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just getting a CBC with differential.
That's a blood
test. Going on. Right.
Yeah.
Getting some blood tests, and we get that the next day. So that we check to see what level their infections are, which the shift on that would tell me exactly which type of infection is going on.
Okay, so you can tell what type of infection the CBC.
Yeah, we can tell 100% on what type of infection. If we need to, then we do a culture, to find out what's going on. We also locate, where the infection is, how severe it is, just basic type of examination.
It's important to know where the infection is, right?
It's very important to know what you're dealing with. And then, there are very definite signs and symptoms for each different type of infection. So most of the time I can sit there and as I'm doing the examination of the patient, of course I confirm it diagnostically, but I can pretty well, I'm almost 100% on which type it is, just by their signs, symptoms, examination.
Mm-hmm.
So
you've been doing this for 30 years.
No, I've been doing this for 30 years, and it's become pretty obvious. I give them, this is probably viral, this is probably, fungal, this is probably bacterial. These are the different types of choices that you have for treating. These are the ones in order. And there can be many different types of treatments for that. That's one of the nice things about our office is one of the problems that many times a doctor has with a disease care model is, they don't have quite as many weapons.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't as many choices to actually use, to actually get the patient from some relief.
Antibiotic or?
Yeah.
Or what?
Yeah. And people don't like to wait out there. I made the appointment. I'm having to pay my copay here.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sending me out the door and say good luck and good to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I come
get
in?
Well.
Yeah, why did I come in?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with our model, we have hundreds of choices, literally, on different types of ways to approach it. And what's nice about it is people walk out feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, our results are immediate, which is nice. I went in feeling awful, and I'm leaving, and I feel pretty decent now, which is nice.
And sometimes people just think of us as preventative medicine, the structure function model.
Sure.
And I said, no, you're not feeling well. Get in,
right.
We have things for that. We can help you with that. You can come in if you're sick.
Right. Yeah. We've had people come in and say, I can't make my visit. I'm sick today. And I said, well, now you need to come in. You don't want to stay sick, do you?
Uh-huh.
And they said, well, no, you can fix that. And I said, yeah, we can. You'll leave feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
So we get them in and we're like, wow, I really do. Acupuncture. Excellent for sinus problems.
And why is that?
It reduces the inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I can palpate and say, what's going to make the biggest difference on their symptomatology?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be changing the structure? So you're usually talking about lymphatic drainage.
Mm-hmm.
Neurological problems. Is it more of an inflammation type of a thing that would help them? So using some acupuncture, we've had quite a few. Well, obviously with all the flu and upper respiratory infections coming around, we're getting that a tremendous amount.
Yeah.
So, had a patient came in and they had even gone through two rounds of antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
and said, I feel worse. You know, it's not working.
And people are, yeah. People are getting secondary infections this year, and people are getting sick.
It's a tough year. Uh-huh. And then each infection weakens the immune system even more, and then you hit it with an antibiotic. And, you know, it takes 3 months for your immune system to get back up to par, so you're really susceptible.
Yeah, and let's talk about the gut. What antibiotics does to the gut?
Yeah, and one of the big things that the Centers for Disease Control was saying that, you know, just the importance of the gut with this whole process. Mm-hmm. You know, getting into the whole probiotics. And there's a huge research project on how important the gut bacteria is for the body's ability to keep its immune system up, to be able to fight off bacterial, viral, parasitic, and fungal infections. Mm-hmm. The gut is absolutely critical for that. So getting your, just even taking some, one of the things that I've done on people, besides we were talking about the acupuncture, mm-hmm. but giving them some probiotics and saying, you know, this will get you over this much, much quicker. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that we give besides a whole myriad of.
So if you've been on rounds of antibiotics.
Oh, well, you have to hit that. Yeah.
Yeah. We can help that too by building up.
The long-term type of immune system.
Now, I want to go back to acupuncture because so many people think needles, you know, needles. But we can do the acupuncture. We do laser.
Sure.
We do a powder. So there's non-needle electrical options.
There are non-needle options. Had a young lady who there was just no way she was going to, you know, when you're 15.
Yeah. Some of our young people, yeah, this is cool. They take pictures and send it to all their friends. And then some like,
there's
keep
no
that
way.
Needle away from me.
So so we have many different types of options on that, and we did a red laser on this one young gal. She just absolutely loved it. Mm-hmm. But and when we talk about needles, it's not what you see in movies and stuff like that. And
we're going to call them filaments.
Yeah, they're filaments. They're actually thinner than a hair, and they're rounded on the end.
We should start making them and just calling them filaments.
Yeah, instead of acupuncture,
needles.
Acufilaments.
Ooh.
But so she had already been through several rounds, and I said, "Well, you know, I think the acupuncture will probably be your best bet." Besides taking the homeopathic and the supplements we gave her, we did the acupuncture for immediate relief and put the needles in and left her there for 15 minutes, came back, took them out, and she said, you know, this is the first time I can breathe in a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she came back a week later just to recheck and see, and she said, you know, gone. And she said, I really didn't, as soon as I had the acupuncture from then on, I really didn't have any problems.
Because you said it's helping the inflammation.
It reduced the inflammation. Mm-hmm. And one of the things is if you get the viruses, bacteria, all infections need to have an imbalanced system, mm-hmm. What they call a milieu, where the environment is out of favor for you, but in favor for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they will actually try to create that milieu. So bacteria, viruses actually put out things that will cause increased inflammation, congestion, block up your lymphatic tissue. They're actually
pretty
smart.
Enemy.
Well, not all are.
Not all, right.
You know, if we actually removed all of the non-us in our system, 50% of our weight would be gone.
Hmm.
So we are 50%.
About 10%.
That's funny. But, and we wouldn't actually live without them.
Yeah, I know that. Wasn't there some diet programs you could get out of a magazine that were actually parasites in a capsule?
Yeah.
And you could lose weight.
Of course, kill you, but that's besides the point.
Well, let's talk, because there's so much. You know, I work at the office, and I just see so much great results with what we do. You
sure.
open up the eustachian tubes.
Right.
You know, people come just for that adjustment. Doc, you know, I can tell my lymph system's backed up, and you open their eustachian tubes. It starts the drainage.
Of course.
That prevents me from getting sick a lot.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yes. I have people coming in I have people from Michigan and Ohio and Illinois driving in just to get their eustachian tubes open.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. But it makes an incredible difference on the number of sinus infections. And I can't tell you how many people who have, you know, come into our office who had just started with us this year, and they said, you know, it's amazing, but, you know, this time of the year, I'm always sick.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, this is a really bad year. I mean, everybody around me is sick,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've been able to make the connection to their care at the office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the different ways that we approach it, and boosted their immune system and got things working right and get their homeostasis correct,
mm-hmm.
which is the balance of the body.
Right.
And homeostasis is the definition of health.
And the basis of structure function medicine.
And the basis of structure function medicine. And they didn't get sick. And that's building up the resistance of the person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important way that we as physicians in implementing the whole structure function care into our healthcare system, that we can really make a huge difference on the health and well-being of the people out there.
Yeah. There's answers.
There are
answers.
You
can feel well. You can go through this winter, this flu season, feeling well.
Right.
We are.
Right.
We are.
Yes.
And
I am exposed to at least 20, 25 sick people a day.
Uh-huh.
And probably every single virus that you can probably come up with or any type of infection. And I have missed, in 30 years, 2 days of work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Our kids have never been on an antibiotic.
Right.
You know, I mean,
yeah, our
there's
family,
something to say.
Our family just doesn't use pharmaceuticals. We don't need them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we keep ourselves well and healthy.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to take an antibiotic quiz.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
Well, what is the Gallup report?
The first ever annual report on people's awareness of chiropractic. The Gallup system has never really done a survey on actual chiropractic,
mm-hmm.
to find out where people are with chiropractic, their understanding.
So what did they find out? How do people view chiropractic?
About 14% of the population on a yearly basis use chiropractors.
Mm-hmm.
About 50% of all adults have been to a chiropractic, and they have a very positive view of chiropractic. We have the highest satisfaction rate of any healthcare professional.
Mm. Interesting.
With the people who've actually visited us.
Mm-hmm. And experienced it. People have a lot of opinion that haven't even gone to one.
Right, and have no idea what it is.
Uh-huh.
So when they asked people who had not been to a chiropractor, the other 50%, of those 25% said chiropractic they considered was dangerous.
Uh-huh.
Have you had any experience with chiropractic? No.
Interesting.
The other group was like, I'm not really quite sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of misconception on that, you know, mm-hmm. on what's actually going on. And there's a lot of opinions that really don't hold water. You know, one of the things that keeps people away from chiropractic is it safe? Is mm-hmm. this a safe modality? And even a lot of professionals aren't aware of the facts that's associated with that. But according to an independent group called the insurance company, which does, if you are in the insurance business, you know that they are extremely thorough because they're talking about their money. Chiropractic malpractice has the lowest rates of any healthcare professional.
Mm-hmm.
Nurses have a higher malpractice rate. Dental assistants have a higher malpractice rate. My medical assistant has a higher malpractice rate than I do. So, you know, the thought patterns on that chiropractic is dangerous. It is actually the least dangerous of all the healthcare systems out there. Mm-hmm. The research is just, you know, overwhelming on the benefit of chiropractic.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
We're talking today about the failure of antibiotics. We're going to take a little antibiotic quiz. This is from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Let's see which ones I want to pick. Which of these illnesses should be treated with antibiotics? A, runny nose. B, the flu. C, cold. D, strep throat.
Strep throat.
The answer is D, strep throat.
And interestingly enough, strep throat antibiotic doesn't actually change the course of the strep throat.
What does it do then?
It prevents the streptococcus infection from going to the heart and the kidneys, which is very important.
And don't you find that has already gone to the heart sometime?
Sometimes. That's actually been a problem. And it's not that unusual. Oftentimes, it will damage, when you have strep infections, they will actually damage portions of the heart valves. Mm-hmm. That's where you get the murmurs, which there are actually treatments for that you can, some natural treatments that you can get changes along those lines.
Okay.
So,
question two. I can prevent antibiotic-resistant infections when I, and the hint, more than one may apply.
Okay.
When I, A, don't take an antibiotic for a viral infection. B, don't save an antibiotic for the next time I'm sick. C, don't take an antibiotic prescribed for someone else. And D, take my antibiotic exactly as my health care provider tells me.
Well, one, you shouldn't take an antibiotic for a viral infection, because that will actually allow the viral infection to even be worse, and it will do nothing for the virus itself. So it's counterproductive to take an antibiotic for a viral infection. It just doesn't work.
And you don't want to save them, so it's all of the above.
All of the above, yeah. You don't want to save them. You don't want to have it prescribed for someone else, because you want to have the antibiotic that you're taking specifically for the infection you have. That's because they've already done the culture, been able to test it, and see that that was the antibiotic that you had, and you are supposed to take it exactly as prescribed. Because an interesting thing is, if you stop it too early, you can actually create antibiotic resistance.
Wow. Okay. That's why it's so important to take it in that 10-day cycle.
It's very important to actually take the full prescription of the antibiotics.
Okay. And, we'll talk about this later after the quiz. What can happen if I get an antibiotic-resistant infection? Hint, more than one may apply.
Hint, okay, hint. Thanks for the hint.
A, I may have a longer-lasting illness. B, I may have to visit my doctor more. C, I may require hospitalization. And D, I may need more costly medicine that may cause side effects.
All the above. So it is important to, you know, actually find out if you have an antibiotic-resistant infection. One of the nice things that is occurring is with the genetic testing, this is one thing that can actually be very helpful. They can actually do swabs in your mouth and from the bacteria find out exactly which antibiotics that you are resistant to. By testing that out, so they automatically know that those would be antibiotics that aren't for you. So our ability to detect these types of things has actually increased quite dramatically.
Yeah, and you talked about using it in situations, life-saving situations.
You really need to really, you know, you need to be trying to find other alternatives to deal with even bacterial infections before you go to an antibiotic. Mm-hmm. So you know, going after this in the right way. Now, if an antibiotic is necessary, you need to move on quickly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, this is something that needs to be evaluated and first seen if this is something that should be done. There should be a patience on the patient's part.
Patient, right.
you know, to find out what's going on. But there are many ways to help, and it's not just a weight gain. In other words, it's not antibiotic or nothing. There are many different types of alternative types of ways to actually approach this.
And you brought up homeopathic medicine. I mean, homeopathic hospitals before pharmaceuticals came on the scene, right, in the 1920s, I mean, they helped wipe out the Spanish flu and the hospital.
Sure. There was the allopathic where it was pharmaceutical-based.
The allopathic hospitals, yeah.
The Spanish flu had a 90% death rate. The homeopathic hospitals only had a 10%.
Okay, and this next question, there's some big words here, so I'll try. Alexander Fleming discovered the first antibiotic in 1928. What was the antibiotic that wasn't the hard word, named? A, mold. B, penicillin. C, vancomycin.
Vancomycin, good.
And D, you can say this one.
Doxycycline.
Okay, and what is the answer?
It was penicillin.
Penicillin.
Was the first antibiotic, and that was, of course, taken from mold. Mm-hmm. And that was something that was used by more of a healer, you know, a local healer who would actually grew it and would put it over infections. So he saw her doing that, and then he just did the scientific research.
Wow, and it saved a lot of lives.
It's been a godsend to humanity to be able to have the antibiotic. So something that, one, we need to try to preserve as much as possible, and then also do research to try to find new forms of that so that we do have those available for those situations to save people's lives.
And the last question, antibiotic resistance has been called one of the world's most pressing public health problems. True or false?
True. Mm-hmm. And that's a universal theme which some people have been pushing on for quite a while.
Hmm. Well, let's talk about kids. And we don't have a lot of time here. We almost need a part two of this. There's lots of information. But what should a parent do if their child is sick?
Get in with a first role should actually be a structure function doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that if there could be something that's done naturally, obviously, if your child is sick, you want to get them as well as quickly, reduce the symptomatology, and actually not going through the pharmaceutical route is absolutely the best way. Most antibiotics haven't actually been tested on children, so their results are actually questionable. And there are a lot of negative effects for pharmaceuticals, especially on children who are more sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to find out what is the underlying cause, checking them out, doing the proper diagnosis, and then getting the proper treatments.
So if someone does need care for a bacterial infection, what should be their steps?
One, determine how severe the bacterial infection is, and then find out a treatment program accordingly.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one question I had, too, you know, diet plays a role. You know, I'm the mother in the office, you know.
Oh, sure.
Some of our young staff don't eat all, you know, as healthy as they should. So they're all, okay, Mom, you know, and that can decrease, right? Like refined sugars can decrease your immune system.
Yes, there is a definite correlation on that. And if you eat wrong, your immune system's not going to be working as well.
Mm-hmm. What about sleep?
If you don't sleep enough, again, your resistance actually decreases. Those are very well accepted types of things. So taking basic care of yourself. One of the things that we always saw is after Halloween, we get a lot more infections that actually occur because of
that. And then we go into flu season. Yeah.
And then we go into the flu season, and then we have Christmas where we overindulge.
And get stressed out.
Yes, and, you know, people come in and sick, and I can tell that they haven't been eating right because their liver's congested, their spleen's, you know, their system, you know, is ready for an infection. Mm-hmm. So, you know, keeping yourself healthy, keeping yourself well is a very, very critical aspect.
That chicken soup.
Chicken soup.
Soup on the weekend.
And trying to get antibiotic-free chickens.
Uh-huh, right.
You know, because you can actually pick up antibiotics not only from antibiotics that you take, but also from your food.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather. Very informative on the failure of antibiotics. Thank you.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Are you frustrated by not getting to the root cause of your health issue? Are you tired of not knowing why you're always fatigued? Are you wanting to say no to toxic drugs? Have you lost hope? Are you just tired of being sick and tired? At the Prather Practice, we want you to know that we have the answers for you. We offer the alternative to the disease care model. We are the drug-free model to health and wellness. At the Prather Practice, we look for the underlying cause of your health problem and not just the symptomatology. Through thorough diagnostics, we find your individual health blueprint for your treatment. Where the disease care model is symptom-based, the structure-function model we practice gets to the root of your health issue. The Prather Practice is the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Our integrative practice offers you the most treatment options to restore your health and your hope. Learn more about the Prather Practice by calling 317-848-8048 or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com.